So it's that time of the week where we talk about all things soccer over in the other side of the Atlantic. For MLS Monday, we're joined by Major League Soccer expert Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome.
Hey, Andy, always good to be back to talk a little soccer over in America.
Yeah, now, of course, we were hearing last week on MLS Monday the fact that the playoffs have reached the stage where they are going to respect the international break. Not always something that happens in Major League Soccer, but the on-field action in Major League Soccer, at least, has had to wait. But there's still plenty of stuff going on, including a new head coach appointment, which may have snuck past a few people. It's a Blackburn Rovers legend, spent time at Tottenham as well. Brad Friedel has got himself a new gig.
Yeah, that's right. Brad Friedel has been appointed as the new manager of New England Revolution, and he takes over for Jay Heaps, who was actually sacked back in September just before this season came to a close. And you know, New England missed out on the playoffs for a second straight season this year, and Heaps got the axe for it. It wasn't a too terribly of a bad New England team. They had some really good attacking players in Lee Wynn, Ki Kamara, and Diego Fagundes. But Heaps just couldn't get that defense right with New England, and they gave up the third most goals in Major League Soccer this season with 61. Now, Friedel is in with limited experience. He has coached the U.S. men's national team under-19 team. But like Heaps, when he was appointed back in 2011, Friedel has limited knowledge or limited experience, that is, from being a coach. The good news is that he does have all that experience from playing in England, as well as he did have some two seasons with Columbus Crew back in 1996, 1997 at the very first couple of seasons of Major League Soccer. But he has that, you know, that wealth of knowledge from playing overseas that he can really take back to those young American players and international players, and I think really give them something that Jay Heaps really couldn't with his time of only playing in Major League Soccer.
Do you feel for Brad Friedel that this is a move that he'll look back on in 3 or 4 years and think that was a really great idea? Or do you see this as it's a very big project for somebody whose coaching, you know, history and things is so far not that well-rounded?
Well, there's been a trend in Major League Soccer over the last, I guess, 10 years now. After Jason Kreis took over Real Salt Lake and really turned that franchise around, of bringing in coaches with very limited knowledge but had experience playing in the United States. And, you know, Friedel comes to the team with that little bit of, experience from the national team. And I think this is a way for him to really get his feet wet and then hopefully for him have some success and move on. As I said, New England wasn't too terribly bad this season, and we're just 3 years away from the team being the runners-up in the MLS Cup. So he has a few pieces in place. If they have a good Major League Soccer draft and a good offseason, they really need to bring in maybe a big-name player or two, I think. This team could be on the verge of doing something next year in the MLS Eastern Conference.
Well, it's interesting that your timing is to bring in the big-name players at this point, because there's talk of some of the names in Major League Soccer and will they be there next season. We know already David Pirlo, he has retired. There's questions I see over Bastian Schweinsteiger's future in Chicago. There's a few others rumoured potentially to not be at their current clubs next time around. What are you seeing with all this, Drew?
Well, I think Bastian Schweinsteiger is the biggest one right now, and a couple of weeks ago, Schweinsteiger had come out and said that there were no teams really giving him any offers to go play. And he had used MLS kind of as a springboard to, revamp his career, if you will. And even though he's had a really good season, Chicago, 3 goals, 2 assists in just 24 games, those offers haven't been coming in. So it looks like there could be a chance that Chicago brings him back next season. They've already said that is a priority. Priority number one, that is, to get him back next year, because he's done such a great job for them. And I think one of the main reasons that the team had a lot more belief this year than they had in years past. It was their best finish since 2009. So I think keeping Schweinsteiger around for at least another year would be good for them. Now, in terms of some of the other big names being linked with MLS, it's still early days with the MLS Cup playoffs going on, and the MLS Cup still a little ways away. Two of the names that have really popped up lately are Fernando Torres and Javier Mascherano, and there's been links that Torres could even join at the start of the next season in March, because as followers of Spanish football know, Diego Costa will be arriving at Atletico Madrid, and there could be a chance that Torres's job is not really needed, or he's not really needed there at the club. So there's been some links with him coming to the U.S. to play with New York City FC or even Orlando, who may be in need of a striker and a big name with Kaká leaving. So, you know, a lot of things going on right now, some shifting and some changing, but I think if we talk, you know, if we focus on Schweinsteiger, I think that's a huge move for Chicago to make, a huge deal to keep him and to for MLS as a league as well.
Do you think, though, that other players are going to look at the Bastian Schweinsteiger almost experiment of seeing him go over there to try and then attract another bigger club? It's not really happened, so others may shy away from the league in the short term?
That could be a bit of the case. You know, I think a lot of Schweinsteiger's reputation or his past in recent years of injuries and what happened at Manchester United, I think that really kind of has stuck with him. I think despite him playing pretty well for Chicago, you know, MLS is still a step down from some of those leagues in Europe. Some of these leagues in Europe, you know, a major step down in terms of, you know, the Premier League and the Bundesliga and such. So, you know, I think that even though it was a great idea and a way to rebuild his career, I think, you know, a lot of the people, a lot of the general managers out there or sporting directors will see that as, you know, well, he's done well, but he is getting older and he's still injury prone, but, you know, we can't really take a chance on him.
To the other end of the age scale, and there's a case we've all said about the older European players who go over, but we're seeing now a situation where younger players from South and Central America are using the league to springboard. There's Miguel Almiron at Atlanta, who there's been talk of him in the past leaving to go to a European side. And just I've noticed as well that with the biggest selling shirts so far this season, or sorry, jerseys, to use the Americanized term for that. He tops the list of most bought jersey in MLS by the fans. And yeah, he shows something a bit different going on from the league there.
Yeah, absolutely. Miguel Almiron, who was brought in this season for just, I believe it was about $1.7 million. He's been linked with about a $20 million move to Europe right now. And even Arsenal are being rumored to being interested in him. And, you know, if he does move to Europe, that could be a huge change in the way that Major League Soccer deals with some of these young players. But as you said, he does have the highest-selling shirt or jersey in Major League Soccer this season. And that's a great stat for a team that has just started this year. And if you look at the list of top 25 jerseys sold this year, Atlanta has five of those top 25 players, which is just a remarkable stat for a team that, you know, kicked off their first season back in March. Seattle with the most players on that list with six. And, you know, a little bit of a coup for English football fans as Jack Harrison registered the 13th highest selling jersey of the season with New York City FC. So, you know, a lot of similar teams or a lot of the same teams we're seeing on this list, just 12 teams represented in the top 25 top-selling jerseys. You know, I think if you look at that list right now, Andy, you kind of see a great mismatch of big-name players such as Bastian Schweinsteiger. He's at number two with Chicago, but a lot of these teams like Atlanta who have all of a sudden in Seattle who get great fan attendance at those games and they've built a real big aura or atmosphere in the cities that they play in.
Yeah, for me, the one that really stood out was the amount of Atlanta shirts there are. I think it's five who make it into the top 25. Now, we know they've got the new stadium. We know that they have huge attendances, but the fact that there are that many shirt sales for them and the fact that it's their first year in the league, I don't think anybody would have foreseen that.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, Minnesota United, who also had their first year in the league, they had just one shirt represented in this with Christian Ramirez. And, you know, even you know, it's kind of shocking to see how the new boys, if you will, Atlanta and Seattle, who have actually been in the league for quite some time, but, you know, they're well represented. Portland's well represented, but you know, you don't see some of those old names really in this New York City New York Red Bulls, that is, and LA Galaxy only with one shirt representing them. So, you know, a bit of a difference in some of these real soccer-hungry cities. And, you know, I think that's a lot of some of the newer teams or even teams like Columbus Crew, who we've talked about, want to relocate, they see these teams like Seattle and Atlanta, and they think that they can replicate that. But, you know, it takes something special to be able to do that, and like Atlanta to, I believe it was, draw 70,000 fans to a single game.
It's not a bad attendance. Let's just quickly move to NASL. They've had their season closer, San Francisco against New York Cosmos. How did that go, Drew?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise that San Francisco Deltas came out with a 2-0 win in this game. Tommy Heineman and Devon Sandoval with the goals in this game. And, you know, San Francisco, the much, team that we've talked about, where they may be closing shop at the end of this season, as well as the NASL for financial reasons, they're able to, you know, pull off a win in the NASL final in what could be their swan song and in their one and only year as well. But if you look at the attendances for this game, I mean, it pales in comparison to what MLS has been doing with the MLS Cup, just over 9,000 fans at this game in San Francisco, when last season's MLS Cup was able to draw well over 36,000 fans to that game. And, you know, we talked about some of the reasons why San Francisco had been in this bit of a situation right now where they're not sure about their future, and ticket prices being one of those problems, with tickets going for between $17 and $124 for a second division U.S. soccer game. So, you know, some great things for them to end the season on such a high note. But, you know, I think if we look back over the regular season and some of the marketing mistakes and some of the mistakes that they might have made with ticket prices and attracting fans, I think, you know, you can see where and how they've gotten to the situation.
Yeah, you can. It's going to be a fascinating one to watch what happens with NASL and beyond there. And it's something we will, of course, keep you up to date with on MLS Monday. For this time, though, we must bring it to a close. Drew Farmer, always great getting you on the show. We'll, of course, talk more again same time next week.
Can't wait, Andy. Always good to talk to you.